The Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, with over 70 travel professionals ready to serve you. Their expertise is unequaled when it comes to planning your next Disney trip, or any trip for that matter. They're the best in the business. That's why they're the official travel agency of the Mickey Mouse Podcast. We want you to go visit them and see for yourself. So go to MEI-travel.com and mousefantravel.com and tell them the Mickey Mouse Podcast sent you. And by the way, you can also get to MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel by going to the Mickey Mouse Podcast page.
Hi, I'm Jill from Austin, Texas, and I love the Mickey Mouse Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 70 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. And Michelle, we are done with Memorial Day weekend, and it's summertime.
Is it really? I can't tell looking out the window here in New Hampshire, where it is 43 degrees and raining. So, but I just came back from Austin, Texas, and I'm telling you, Mike, you have to go there sometime and run. There's nothing like running in Austin, and I'm very lucky that I got to run with our friend, Jill, and she took me to a different part of the trail. We had a great time, and it's a great city, really great city. So I have a shout out today, and it is for a friend of our show who is 9 years old, and his name is Thomas Edwards, and he is going to be running his first race and his first Disney race, the Happy Haunted Trail Run, the 5K, in, I think it's November. No, October. And anyway, Thomas, we are really happy that you listened to the show, and good luck with your 5K. We know you'll have fun running with your dad.
Thomas, good luck, and watch out for the goblins. So on today's show, Michelle and I put our heads together, and we decided that, you know, with all the experience that we have, we have this subliminal set of commandments that we both have, that we have a list of things that we have comprised over the years regarding not just Disney races, but any type of race. And what we decided to do is to try and figure out if there is a combined list that we could talk about, discuss things that we think are very important, especially if we're talking to those of you who are first-time runners, first-time Run Disney runners. So what we did is Michelle made a list of her commandments. I made a list of my commandments, and then we tried to figure out which ones were pretty much the same, and we combined them. So we combined the list, and we have a set of points, rules, guidelines, commandments, I guess we're calling them, that we want to share with you, and we're going to talk about each one. And we hope that, if anything, some of these will have an impact on your training in a positive way. These are things that we have learned over the years, and trial and error sometimes is the best way to come up with the best way to approach things. Michelle?
And I think it would be interesting if people have other commandments for races that they list them on our Facebook page after they listen to these. So these are not the 10 commandments, they're the 10 plus commandments. And so we're going to talk about them, introduce them, and then talk about why we think they're important. Are we ready? Okay, starting with the first one, and it is in order of, kind of in chronological order, yeah. So the first one is, thou shall sign up early. So, Mike, we all know these Disney races, they have been filling up in record speed. So if you're interested in going to a race, if you feel like you have an idea that you want to attend a race, I wouldn't sit on the fence. I would go ahead and sign up early. What do you think, Mike?
You know, Michelle, you just said that we didn't put these in any order of importance. But when you think about it, that's pretty important early now, because they are filling up much faster than they've ever filled up before. And so it's important to keep that in mind. From historically speaking, from what I recall, most races registration opens about 9 months in front of the actual race date, but that could very well change. But it's important to make sure that you don't get shut out, because you know it's no fun.
It's true, actually. If you don't follow this one and you do get shut out, then the rest of them don't really make any difference. But
right.
I know that we kind of sat on the fence for the Dumbo Double Dare, and we both felt disappointed when we didn't get in. And now we are going, but so thou shalt sign up early. All right, what's the next one?
The next one that we came up with was pretty simple. Pick and use a training plan that works for you. And while you're at it, don't overtrain. Now, there are a lot of training plans out there, and they're all good. There aren't really any that are better than any others. The thing that is most important is to do research to find the plan that works with your schedule, with your lifestyle, with how you want to approach your training. And I think that if you make sure that you find one that fits to your needs rather than you fitting your lifestyle to the training plan needs, I think it's going to be much easier for you. Michelle?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that there are great training plans. I'm not going to say that there are no bad ones. I'm not really sure that I could say that, but I think that you do need to pick the one that works for you. Talk to people, look on the web, ask people on the Mickey Miles podcast Facebook page. And when you choose one that works for you, stick with it. I mean, it might be the Galloway program that is on the Run Disney website, or it might be Hal Higdon, or it might be you work with a running coach. Mike?
I want to admit that I don't use any training plan. I use my own. I mean, I read a lot of them, but what I end up doing is I end up putting something that I think works well for me individually. And I'm just saying that it's a training plan. It may not be an official training plan from this one or from that one, but it's the Mike Scopa training plan, and that's the one that fits me. And the reason why I'm saying this, Michelle, is I don't want anyone to think that they have to use one from a book. They can take a combination and make their own, you know?
And I'm just worried that people are going to show up to races and not have run the miles they need to run. So you can use one that's published out there if you don't have 30 right. years experience running, like some people on this podcast do. So, all right, number three, thou shalt train in and wear proper running shoes and socks. So, of course, we've talked about this before. That's very, very important. I would really recommend that you go to a running store and have somebody fit you in running shoes versus go to a sports authority and just pick shoes that you think feel okay, because shoes can kind of position your foot in different ways. And it may not be the proper, you may have high arches, low arches, you may pronate. So you may be actually doing yourself a disservice if you just choose the shoes that are cool because they're purple, which is probably what I would do because I love purple. Also, the socks, we've talked about before, the socks are really important to prevent blisters and things like that.
The other thing I wanted to mention, Michelle, is that for most people, especially those who are training for me, I want to just say half marathon, but I'm going to say even 5Ks. If you're going from the couch, so to speak, to a 5K or from a 5K to a half marathon, you're probably going to go through two pairs of running shoes. So when we say train and wear good running shoes, we're also saying don't let them get into a condition where they may end up hurting your knees and your joints. So pick, find a good pair of running shoes and make sure that you keep an eye on them so that when it's time to replace them, you do so.
Next one?
Next one is, I think this is the one that I came up with, Michelle, and it's because I'm always thinking I'm going to forget stuff. When you get your race waiver, I think it's a good idea to print two copies, and when you pack for your trip to your destination, put one in one area and put one in the other. So you'll have a backup one. if your luggage gets lost or if you lose one, you'll have another one. It's just a backup. Yes, I know that you can print one out at the expo, but boy, those lines are long. And just something that I'm not sure if it's a commandment, but I think it's a pretty strong guideline.
Yeah, you know, I when I get to an expo, I always have ants in my pants. I want to get in line, get my bib. I feel like when I get my bib, I'm actually running the race. So when I see people who are standing in line to print out their race waiver, I go, ah, and I know you can. I also put an alarm on my phone when I'm going to the expo, when I think I'll be at the expo. So 2 hours before, it pops up and says, Disney Expo, bring race waiver. So I make sure I grab it with me. All right, the next one is pack for all weather conditions. So this means that we know, having run these races in the past few years, there could be sleet, there could be 80-degree weather, there could be rain. So you need to account for all possibilities. Bring extra of different things. Bring long sleeves, short sleeves. Bring an extra pair of shoes. If you're running multiple races, it may rain one day. You don't want to get up the next day and run in wet shoes. But you really want to kind of think about all the different possibilities of weather. Mike?
Yeah, the temperature could range as much as 35 degrees. We're talking basically for the January Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. But you have to be ready. You may not need those running tights. You may not need that sweatshirt, but it's good to have that just in case. And just play it safe, because we never know. We never know what we're going to find. The next one is, it's an interesting one, and I think this one is another, it's one of those that comes down to an individual kind of a thing. And what we're saying here is, do not stay out late the night before those morning races, and do not stay in the parks during the day past early afternoon for those night races. And again, it depends upon the individual. And for me, I like to be in my room by about 8 o'clock the night before, because I know that I am so excited about running that I need to calm down. And for the most part, I don't sleep anyways. But if I'm in my room by 8 o'clock, hopefully I'm asleep by 10. And I end up sleeping 4 hours, because I usually get up at 2 and I'm ready to go. Now, I think that the more important of the two is the guideline that we're talking about here for nighttime races. Walking in the parks, doing a lot of touring on the afternoon of night races is not a good idea, because you're using up energy. When we run in the morning, we've already slept, we've rested, we're ready to go. But if you're walking in the parks and you're doing all kinds of things, then you're using up your energy stores. So personally, I like to be out of the parks by 12, but we're saying early afternoon. Michelle?
Well, I don't have much to add other than that is a very long commandment, and that would be a lot if we had to put it on a tablet. So I'm glad we don't. Okay, the next one is, thou shall plug in your devices at least 24 hours before the race. So this is something that you learn from training. When you're getting ready to train and you're getting ready to go, and if you have a GPS watch or an iPod, and it's the worst feeling if you haven't plugged it in ahead of time. You pick it up and, I'm not going to have my music. So make sure you plug in those devices. That could be your iPod again, your watch. If you have a Gym Boss, you're going to make sure you have fresh batteries and take it with you. But plug those things in.
And moving on to number 8, because I really can't add much to what Michelle said. She covered it all. When you are going to a Disney race, or any race for that matter, and you have to get up real early in the morning, that means an early wake-up call. And you want to make sure that you don't oversleep. You want to make sure that you're not going to be late for your race. So you should have at least 2 things that will help you wake up. And that could be, number 1, you may have a clock radio in your room, and you may have your iPhone. You can also call the front desk, have them give you a wake-up call. It's very important that you do everything. You should have a backup for everything, a contingency plan, if you will. And also, if you pay attention to the final instructions that are sent to you, then you will know what time you're supposed to report to the race. And Michelle and I, at the Expedition Everest, we saw people coming in late. I did not run during the Walt Disney World Half Marathon or the Princess or the wine and dine, but I got to observe a lot of people late. A lot of people late, and you don't want to. You want to be there. You want to be able to settle down and get to your corrals. So, this is a very important one, Michelle.
Yeah, I think to add to that too, one of the things that helps out is to have everything laid out the night before too, just to have your bib secured, to have the socks you want, your shoes, you know, whatever you're gonna wear. I put out my Body Glide. I make sure everything's charged up, and then when the alarm clock goes off or whatever. The five things goes off, you're ready to hit the road. So the next commandment is number 9, thou shalt run with a buddy. This isn't strictly speaking 100% necessary, but it is fun to train with a buddy. They can help motivate you. And then when you're at Disney, and if you can run with a buddy or a set of buddies, it makes it really fun to share the accomplishments together and to kind of cheer each other on. So if you can, run with a buddy.
Well, run with a buddy that runs the same speed, too, because you don't want to chain train with someone, then all of a sudden, oh, they're in a different corral and you're in a different corral. So,
well, you know, I think one of the things, Mike, that we've learned and we keep on saying this over and over again is that the Disney races are not the races for PRs. They're the races to have fun. So even if you're not strictly at the same speed, that's okay, as long as one of you doesn't mind slowing down a little bit. But that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
The next one is a very, very important one. And everybody, all the experts will say this, do not wear or use anything new on race day. You don't want to take a chance on being uncomfortable, on something not working. That means you're not going to wear a brand new pair of running shoes. You're not going to wear a brand new pair of shorts. You're not going to wear a brand new running belt. You're not going to do a lot of other things. You're not going to use a brand new watch. You're going to wear and use those things which you have been training with. The comfortable pair of shorts that you know are going to be just right for you, that when you sweat, you're going to feel okay. The watch that you've been using, the iPod you've been using, the running belt, you know how that feels. Everything, it needs to be very comfortable. You need to be familiar with things. If not, you're really risking a long and not so happy race. Michelle?
Here's the thing, too, that I know when I go to those expos, there are so many cool shoes and really interesting, you know, running tights and shirts and for the ladies, even bras and things like that. And it is so tempting to find that perfect, wonderful shirt that you've been drooling over and want to wear that for the race. And I'd recommend that you not. Just keep it nice and clean, put it away for after you're done, and just wear whatever works for you. If you're like me, you have, you know, 3 or 4 shorts and shirts that really feel comfortable, and you want to be super comfortable in your race, so that's what I'd stick with. Okay, the next one is number 11. It is, thou shall use good race etiquette. So we've talked about this on podcasts before, how important it is to use good race etiquette. And on when you get your final race instructions, Disney has a list of things that you should and should not do. But also, you should kind of acquaint yourself to some of the things that are important, such as, you know, moving over to the side of the road if you're using the Galloway method, or not being, you know, 4 across if you're walking with other people or running with other people. What else, Mike? What else should be on that list real quickly?
I'm going to say, I think you covered it all. I think just sharing the road. I think just being aware of everybody, just paying attention. I think that's it. I think paying attention is the most important, being aware of everyone around you and what's going on. And I think that if you keep sharp and keep your attention on everyone, I think you'd be okay. Now, the next one is, I think it's the hardest one of all of the commandments that we've come up with. And it is, thou shalt not weave during the race, because...
Thou shalt not what during the race?
Thou shalt not weave during the race.
Okay.
And, I did not know how important this was until I got my Garmin and I started using a Garmin in the races. And I remember running one race, Michelle, in which at the end of the race, I looked at my Garmin. It was a half marathon, but my watch said 13.36 miles. And I'm thinking, whoa, I ran another quarter of a mile. How did I do that? And it was because I was weaving in and out because I wanted to get around slow people or something was going on. And it added to my distance. So if it adds to my distance, then it's going to take me longer to get to the finish line. And it's not true. It really is not a true half marathon or on whatever distance it is. So this is very difficult, but we're saying if you can minimize your weaving, then do so however you can. Michelle, do you weave during races?
Well, you know, it's interesting that what you just said, I did this half marathon a few weeks ago on Lake Winnipesaukee. And when I was done, my Garmin said 13.56. And wow. Compared to Disney races, there weren't a lot of people there. I mean, it was, I don't know, 1,000 people, 1,500 people in this race. So I think it's tricky sometimes not to, but if, especially at Disney races, but if you can kind of just stay in the lane that you're in and try to go keep in that lane, it really helps.
Now, what I have found that kind of helps is that during the course of a race, when you see a turn coming up, try to get into the smaller part of the turn, because if you can, then most likely you're going to help cut that down. I would guess that most race directors have the race course measured by one of those wheels, and it's done right in the middle of the course most of the time.
Trundle wheel, it's called.
Yeah, so that's what I try to do. I know that I'm going to weave. I try not to weave, but I also try to counter that by cutting corners if I can.
All right. Our next commandment is number 13. And it is, thou shalt not run on the grass or on the curb. So very, very important. We see this all the time, again, with the numbers going up for Disney races. Sometimes people want to get by. Again, they want to do some weaving. And it is easy to think, okay, I'm going to run on the curb or run on the grass and get by that person. I would suggest that you're patient, because even just running on the grass, if you just hit the grass the wrong way, you're going to twist an ankle. The curbs, there are different types of curbs in these races. Some of them are kind of just gradual curbs that you don't even know that you're, you know, kind of hitting it kind of at an angle. I know that I've hit a few times on the curb trying to go up and down sidewalks, and it's not been good. So be safe. Again, this is nobody in these races is going to the Olympics. Have a safe race, have a fun race, and there's no need to run on the grass. I know you have personal experience with this, Mike.
You know, Michelle, I ran only one Princess Half Marathon. I was about 50 yards from the start, and there was a woman on the grass on the right-hand side, and she was rolling and everything and holding her ankle. And my guess, I did not see this, but my guess is that she decided that, you know, it was too crowded, and she needed to get into her pace, and so she went on the grass. And not only can it be slippery, but it can be uneven, like you said. And the curbs in Florida are crazy, so you got to be careful. It's really, you know, it's really not worth it. Take your time, and especially this usually happens at the start. Take your time. It's morning. There's dew on the grass. Really, really, it's not worth taking the chance. Okay. The next one is, thou shalt hydrate before and during the race. And this is really something that you should be doing 72 hours before the race. You should be drinking. You should be taking your body cells and hydrating them as much as possible, because it's been proven that when you run a race, no matter how many bottles of water you have in your running belt, no matter how many stops you make to the water stops, you will never replenish 100% of what you lose. So what you need to do is you need to be proactive and drink fluids well before the race. And you really shouldn't turn up any, if you're not carrying a water belt, you should not bypass any water stop. You should be having something to drink at every water stop. If you have a water belt, that's a different story. Michelle?
I have two things to add. Number one, my brother, as I mentioned before, was an Ironman, and he talked about hydrating 3, 4, 5 days before a race. And the other thing is, you mentioned this, but I just want to underscore, we're talking about water here. So we're not talking about soda or things beer. Like that, or beer. It needs to be water. And I would say also Powerade too, you know, things that increase your electrolytes. So I think very, very important. All right. I like this next one. This is number 15. And this is, thou shall wear your medal after you earn it. Wear your medal to the park. I think Disney is the best place to wear your medal. You'll see other people wearing their medals. You can stop and say congratulations. Cast members will congratulate you. You have earned it. So wear that medal and wear it proud.
And, you know, when else are you going to wear your medal?
Yeah, you're probably not going to wear it to the supermarket when you get home or to the Department of Motor Vehicles to renew your license. So wear it in the parks.
No. I think the one that always got the most attention was the Coast to Coast. That was the one that everyone always liked. Okay, my last one goes like this. Thou shalt plan your next race right after finishing your current race. And Michelle, I think you were the one that that came up with this one, and it's a good one. And when you think about it, when you finish a race, especially if it's your very first half marathon or Disney race or whatever, you're pretty excited. You're pumped. You're looking at your medal. You feel like you've accomplished something that you never thought you have. You feel great, and that's a runner's high that you should carry on to the very next race. You should say, this was great. I want to do it again. And you should look for the next race. It doesn't have to be a Disney race. It can be any race. And what's good about it is that, you know, you're motivated to do it, and it will keep you focused. It will keep you in training. It will keep you in shape. And that's what it's all about. It's being healthy. And if you have another race that you can target, then you're going to say, oh, I got to start running again. Michelle?
Yeah, I mean, I did put this one down, and I think that if you have something on your list, everything you said, you're going to be excited to start training for that one. And it doesn't have to be a Disney race, but if you have something on the books, then you'll know that you want to keep that training up. And I know I've mentioned several times before that one of my goals this year was to run some non-Disney races, and it's been really great to help keep me motivated to get out there on Saturdays and do those long runs. And then it's my way of training for my next Disney race, which is going to be the Dopey. So it's a good one. All right, so the last one on the list is thou shalt tell the world. So I actually think this is before, during, and after your Run Disney experience. I think it's great to tell people that you're training, share it on Facebook, share it on the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page or on Twitter, and have people sign up for runner tracking during your race so that they can see how you're doing. And then also, you know, tell them how you did. I know the first race that I did for Disney, I told my friends, I told my family. I didn't run with my phone, but when I got back to the car, I must have had 37 text messages with congratulations because people had followed me during the race. So while you're training, let people know what you're doing and so that they can cheer you along, because they're going to be some highs and lows, some days that you're not going to feel like it. Have them follow you during the race and then tell them afterwards. Send pictures of yourself with that medal. What do you think, Mike?
I agree.
All right. So I think that is the end of our list. We didn't make it 10 commandments. We made it 17. But I'm sure our listeners have suggestions about things that they would like to add or ideas that they would have for what should be on our Run Disney 10-plus commandments list.
Yeah, I think that basically what this list has is things that we've learned over the years, things that work for us. Possibly these are also things that have come about from maybe something that has happened in a negative way. But either way, I'm sure that there are others that I would welcome to see, and I'm hoping that we get to see some on the Facebook page. So, Michelle, I guess that is it. Is there anything else we need to say? I guess we're okay.
No, I think we're good, and I look forward to see what other people say about this.
The Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. Don't plan a trip without talking to the vacation planners at MEI or Mouse Fan Travel. They'll take the worry out of your vacation. They will go beyond what you would expect from a professional travel agency, and that's because they are as professional as they come. If you listen to this podcast, then we know that you take trips to Disney destinations as well as others. So why not have a professional travel agency help you plan your next trip? Visit our friends at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com, and you can also get to their site through our website, mickeymilespodcast.com. And when you get there, tell them Mike and Michelle sent you. For Michelle Scribner-McLean and the 17 Commandments of Running, this is Mike Scopus saying we will see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.